for your word.
Okay, so then here we go.
In Jesus' name.
We're going to start in Ephesians 6, 14.
Okay, so then here we go.
So we just read verse 13,
Ephesians 6,
14.
Therefore, because
so we just read verse 13,
we wrestle against these principalities and powers.
Because
we do,
because we wrestle against these principalities and powers.
Knowing that we are outmatched,
knowing that we are overwhelmed by it,
knowing that we are outmatched, knowing that we are overwhelmed by it,
to withstand in the evil day,
and have the
armor
of God
to stand.
That you may be able to withstand in the evil day.
Okay, we said again last week, we said the whole armor.
Right?
It is a complete set.
Okay, we said again last week, we said the whole armor.
We could have the option to pick and choose the pieces we wanted to wear. And we actually said last week
the option to pick and choose the pieces we wanted to wear.
And we actually said last week,
if he was so concerned with the weight of the armor,
that a soldier
and thinking so much about the weight of the armor, he could think, well, if I put this part down,
and thinking so much about the weight of the armor,
he could think, well, if I put this part down,
but if I am more concerned
with what God has given us
but
to do.
But if I am more concerned
with what He is telling
with
me,
what God
then
has
I don't.
Given us
I can
do.
Get over.
And if I am more concerned with what
does that
He
make
is
sense?
Telling me,
then
I don't. I can get
okay,
over.
It
so,
could be
the
that in the difficulty that I have, I could
you
pay so much attention
okay, so,
to the difficulty.
It could be that in the difficulty that I
forget about God.
I could pay so much attention to the difficulty.
Have you ever done that? I've done that.
That
I
pay
about
so
God.
Much attention to what is wrong and to
have
what is going
that?
Wrong
that
I forget
I
pay
about
so much
God
attention
is.
To what is wrong
and about
what is
he
going
is able
wrong
to do.
That I forget about
this
who
happened
God
with the children of Israel
and I forget about
in and
what
out
he
of the
is
desert,
able to
in
do
in and out of the wilderness.
This happened with the children of Israel
that they had just
in and
seen
out of the desert
the
and out of the
God
wilderness.
Separate the Red Sea. Right.
That
they had just
seen
the God separate the Red Sea.
Charlton Heston
standing there.
Over the Red Sea and it splits.
I saw the movie once.
Right?
I go, but in standing there,
to really
over
see
the Red Sea and it splits.
A sea
I go,
split
but,
in half.
But in to really
and then
see
you were able to walk through it on dry ground,
split in
surrounded
half
by your enemy.
And then you were
right,
able to walk through it on dry
it,
ground, surrounded
but not
by
overcome
your enemy.
Right?
And then you were escaped on the other side,
and
but
not overcome.
Your
and
adversaries
you were
swallowed up on the other side, and
they saw that.
Your adversaries swallowed up behind you.
And then 3 days later,
they saw that.
They were
first
complaining
hands
that they didn't have cucumbers.
And then 3 days later, they were complaining.
Yeah,
that
we
they
read
didn't
that story,
cucumbers.
We're like, man, these people are unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
But then some of us are going to leave here today.
We're like, man, these
right?
people
I did this the other day. I put my sunglasses on the dashboard of my truck.
But then some of us are going to leave here
truck,
today.
I put them on.
Right? I did this
and
the other day. I put my sunglasses
on
the dashboard
right
of my truck. I hopped
and
in the truck.
I said,
I put them on.
Why have you forsaken me?
And just immediately scolded my face.
I forgot so quickly.
I said, why have you forsaken me?
Right.
But we will. We can be that way easily.
So quickly.
Right.
We can.
But we will. We can be that way easily.
We can.
We can quickly forget God. But here is a reminder. Here is a reminder. Yes, we are wrestling against these things.
But here is a reminder.
Yes, there is difficulty. Yes, we are
overwhelmed.
But yes, there is difficulty. Yes,
we
are overwhelmed. But
we also have a God who has prepared us for it. And we have a God who has graciously given us this armor to put on so that we have a way to contend. In a way, not just to contend, but to stand, to withstand and stand. Right. So here we go, verse 14. Therefore, stand. Like, you have withstood, and in withstanding you have discovered that you stood. Right. Like we said last week, a storm is coming and you hide behind something and woof, like it goes around you and you stand up and you say, oh my gosh, I made it through. Right. This is it. We are wrestling. And when we rely on God, we can look at it and say, oh my gosh, I made it through that. Why? Because I have put on the armor. I have withstood, and now I discover that I can stand. So here, verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now we'll get into the elements of this armor. Right? Having girded your waist with truth. What does it mean to gird? Do we use that word anymore? I mean, I wear a girdle sometimes, but no, I don't. I don't. But no, we are embracing and we are supporting something, right? Like having your waist girded. In the King James, it says having your loins girded. And biblically, this word loins speaks of the inner strength and speaks of like who we really are and what we are wrestling with. So to have your loins girded means having your waist like clamped up and supported. Right? like a belt. I wear a belt. Look at that belt. And it is holding me up, holding up my pants. Hallelujah, right? But it is supporting us, right? Any weightlifters out there? There's Dave. Dave is a weightlifter, Olympic weightlifter right here. The guy is a machine, right? But you see the guys in the gym and they have the big leather belt on. Why are they wearing that? Because it is supporting them, right? It is supporting them, like holding things in place while they exert themselves, right? This is what he is talking about. The first piece of armor here is this belt of truth. And that we would wrap it tightly around our waist, and that it would be our strength and the reminder of our strength. This thing is designed to keep things where they're supposed to be. Right? Actually, it's the central part of the armor. Vincent says it this way, that it is the junction point of all the other pieces of armor. That I wear this truth and all the other pieces of equipment are connected to it. The breastplate of righteousness is connected to the belt of truth. The sword hangs on the belt of truth. Right? It is the thing that holds everything else together. Is a belt. Right? And if you can picture the dress in those days, we didn't wear pants like we wear, but they had the long flowing garments, right? And that when if they were to move quickly, it could keep them back. So what it means to gird your loins with truth means to wrap everything up and tighten it up so that you can move without being hindered. And also keep everything where it's supposed to be. Right? This is the belt. It is supporting us. If you think of a soldier in the middle of a fight, the last thing he wants to think about is, where is my sword? Right? Like it needs to be accessible. And it needs to be held in place and it needs to be supported by something. And the breastplate of righteousness, the thing that is protecting us, it needs to be connected to something. If it is just floating out on its own and it is moving around, then maybe it doesn't protect the vital area it needs to protect. But this belt of truth binds everything together and keeps everything where it is supposed to be. It's a crucial part of the armor. It's also truth. Okay, it's a belt. It is support. Look at that. Isn't that a great picture? Right, the belt. It is there. It is supporting. But it's truth. Truth. An interesting word. An interesting word, isn't it? Truth. Truth is relative in the world we live in. Right? Have you ever had a discussion about somebody and you talk about truth and they say there is no truth, no absolute truth, and you can return the question by saying are you absolutely saying that there is no absolute truth? Like in saying it, you're agreeing with it, right? But truth is so important. Oh my gosh, truth. Here in this context, Kenneth Weiss says that he's talking about our heart before God. That he's saying, are you truthful before God? And I like that. I think we're going to go a different direction, but I like that. Are you truthful in your relationship to God? Right. Here we are, Sunday morning, church, hallelujah, love it. Thank you for coming. Isn't it exciting? But oftentimes we can come into church and we can say like, okay, I'm going to pull it together. I'm going to pull it together for the next hour and a half. I'm going to put on my best face. And then when I get back in the truck or back in the car, I'm going to fall back into 100 pieces, right? And we come in, we get out, maybe we just argued on the way into church. That never happens, I know. Never, right? That's why I take separate car into church. Right? I'm not getting into it. Right? How could we go so south so quick, right? And then we come in and say, hey, how we doing? Hey, arm around each other. Oh, love each other. Hey. No, it's okay. But before God, are we truthful? Can I walk before God? Stephen said it in the introduction to one of the songs. Can I stand before God with any kind of confidence that he knows the depth of my depravity and he knows everything I've done and he still welcomes me to stand before him? Because of what Christ has done, right? I could put on a mask and run the masquerade and say, hey, God, how are you? How are you? I am doing very well. Thank you for asking. And I will present to you how well I am doing, and I would love to define it for you. I have the receipts. I can tell you everything. Right? And he says, I know who you are. I know what is in your heart, and I still love you. You don't need this masquerade. But actually, walking in truth before God, walking in honesty before God, is something that helps us. Because then when we are faced with conflict, we are not left in this place in between, okay, I know who I am, but I also know who I want God to think I am. And now that I really need him, will he accept me? I don't want to be in that place of anxiety, but instead I want to walk honestly with God and know that he loves me and he will never leave me, he will never forsake me, despite myself. When I believe in that, when I trust in that truth, then I am affected by it and I have an access to God and I will trust in it. And he says in Hebrews chapter 4, come running boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Wow, do you believe that? Is that true? If I am masquerading before God, I will not come boldly to the throne of grace. I'll avoid it. I'll avoid it because I think there's judgment. But if I believe in the truth of the gospel and I trust in it with all my heart, then I will come running boldly to the throne of grace and say, Lord, here I come again, coming in hot. Right? I got some baggage. And he says, good. I have help for you in time of need. That's what he's here for. He encourages us in it. So truth. Okay, so that's one application. This other one, though, we could say is that I would agree with the truth that God has revealed. That I would be girded, or I would have a belt of truth. And we could say that this truth is everything that God has revealed to us. What he has revealed to us. And we could say that there is a lot out there that we perceive a lot of things. And we look at a lot of things and we think that they are true. But then once we go to put our weight on them, or we put our life on them, it shows that they are not true. It is not true. Like a play scene, like a facade, where everything looks good. Everything is there. But when you go to open the door, there is nothing behind it. There is no substance. But truth is this way. Truth is this way, that it is revealed. And it might be that I don't see it. But when I believe what God has revealed and what he has said, and I put my weight on it, I could say, it looks like there's nothing there, but there is truth there. And I put my life on it, and it supports me. This is the kind of truth that we want to be, so that we want to surround our waist, that we want to support our life. Truth. What a radical idea, truth. When a soldier had his belt tightened, what does that mean? It means he's ready for battle, right? Like he's ready to go. They are ready to rumble. But the belt that is loose and the garments are flowing and the breastplate is over there, what is that signifying? I'm not ready. And I'm not engaged. Maybe even I'm not believing. But when I put that belt on and I cinch it tight, and I stand before God in truth, and I say, Lord, I believe that there is more out there than I know, but I trust you. I trust that you are. I trust that you sent Christ. I trust that he paid for my sins. I trust, I believe, then we are equipped and we're ready to go. This belt of truth. But also, and don't we all want to feel that way? Like courageous? Don't we all want to be like a superhero, just swinging in and saving the day? Don't we want to have a testimony where when things were difficult, I stood firm? Don't we want to have the testimony that says, I was able to withstand, I stood? I want it. But you know what I feel like sometimes? I feel like I just say, okay, I'm good, I'm done, I'm out. And I just want to hide in this little room. And no one can see me, right? Like I feel like I don't have it. I can't do it. I want to be like Gideon in Judges 6 and 7, where Gideon is there. He's hiding behind the little wine press, just trying to make lunch. He's like, just leave me alone. I'm a little guy, and a little family, and a little tribe, and a little nation. Everyone's pushing us around. Can you just leave me alone so I can have a sandwich? Like, when I feel that way, what do I need? I need something that will surround me and something that will make contact with me and say, I am your strength. Though you are weak, I am strong. And where you are weak, that is where my strength will come out and reveal itself to you and tell you that's not the real truth. Because it could be very true, couldn't it? Isn't that true? Like, if we're talking about Gideon, isn't it true that he is a little guy and a little family and a little tribe and a little nation? It is true. But what do we need? We need a greater truth. We need a greater truth. And what is that greater truth? The angel of the Lord comes to him and says, hey, you mighty man of valor. Gideon looks around. He's like, who else is here? I thought I was alone. Right? No, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. And he says, time out. No, I want to hide. I want to crawl under a rock. I want to avoid every difficulty in my life right now. He says, I understand that, but I am calling you a mighty man of valor.
I want
a mighty woman of valor.
I want to crawl under a rock.
And there is a truth that surrounds us,
but I am calling you a mighty man of valor.
A mighty woman of valor.
And supports us,
and there is a truth that surrounds
the belt of truth that is a significant piece of armor for us.
And supports us and encourages us. This is the belt of truth that is a significant piece of armor for us.
A few points about this truth.
We need it.
Before we do, I have 4 points.
So what can we say?
So you can count them down.
Watch
the clock and count them down.
No.
I have 4 points to make.
Truth is truth, isn't it?
So you can count them down.
Is truth true?
Watch the clock and count them down. No.
Yes. Okay.
But before, okay.
Is truth true despite your disbelief,
isn't it?
Yes.
Is truth true?
Gravity is gravity, whether or not you like it or not.
Is truth true despite your disbelief?
It doesn't matter if you believe in gravity, it still affects your contact with the earth.
Gravity is gravity, whether or not you like it or not.
Right?
Does anybody defy gravity?
It doesn't matter if you believe in gravity, it still affects your contact to the earth.
Momentary.
Right?
No,
but gravity is a force that I cannot argue with. It is a truth.
Maybe after a sneeze, briefly.
So truth is this way.
Right.
No, but gravity is a force that I cannot argue with.
It is the truth.
To believe or disbelieve.
So truth is this way.
And truth has been
But we, as people, have the ability to believe or disbelieve.
And truth has been
mocked.
It says in Isaiah chapter 59,
truth has been ignored.
9 through 14,
and truth
the whole
has
passage
is powerful.
But verse 19 says that
it
truth
says in Isaiah
has
chapter
fallen
59,
in the streets.
Verses 9 through 14,
truth has fallen in the streets.
How does it fall?
But verse 19 says that truth
it's been let go.
Has fallen.
It's been abandoned.
In the streets.
It's been walked away from.
Truth has fallen in the
Why?
Streets. How does it fall?
Because there is pressure
it's been
against
go.
It.
It's
because
been abandoned.
We wrestle.
It's been walked away
there
from.
There is a whole kingdom that would
Why?
Love for me to abandon
because
truth.
There is pressure against
and this whole kingdom
because
can even
we
say
wrestle.
To the church,
there
is a whole
Call
kingdom
the church.
That would love
Read the
for
Bible.
Me
That's
to
all
abandon
well and
truth.
Good.
But
and this whole kingdom
can
even
the
say to the church, about what
Call
truth
yourself
is.
The church. Read the Bible.
And let's
that's all
say
well and good.
That we could, and if you heard this term,
let's get into the gray area,
that you would live your own truth.
And let's say that, it,
Speak
that
your
we
truth,
could, and if
live
you heard this
truth.
Term, I think we have
say,
all heard
yeah,
it,
yeah,
that you would live your
yeah,
own truth.
Right.
But let's speak
pause
your
and
truth.
Wait a minute.
Live your
Maybe
truth.
That is a dangerous
we
thing.
We say, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
if there
right.
is a greater truth,
but let's,
I want
let's
to
pause
recognize
and wait a minute.
A greater
Maybe
truth.
That is a dangerous thing.
So here,
because if there
the
is a greater truth,
I want to recognize a greater truth.
Where do we start when we talk about truth?
So here,
where do I begin?
We can make. Where do I find the measuring rod?
Where
do
we
I
start
find the definition?
When we talk about truth.
Where do I find objectivity?
Where do I, begin?
Where do I find something that
where
is outside of everything else?
Where do I find
that
the
is
definition
able to define?
Where do I
for
find
me?
Objectivity? Where do I find something
I say
that is outside
that it is important
of everything
that we,
else?
When we talk about truth,
that is
we
able
start
to define for me.
Don't start with yourself.
I say
don't
that it
start
is important
with natural
that we,
thinking.
When we talk
don't
about
start
truth,
with
we start
a
with
natural
God.
Way, but start with God.
Don't start with yourself.
This is where
don't
he
start
is.
With natural
Genesis
thinking.
Genesis chapter
don't
1
start
verse
with
1
a
says
natural
it.
Way.
The
but
verse
start
sentence
with God.
Of the Bible.
How the Bible
this is
starts.
Where he is.
It sets things
Genesis
in order.
Chapter 1 and verse 1 says
isn't it?
The
very
first sentence
beginning
of the Bible.
How the
there
Bible
is no
starts.
Plea,
it sets
there
things
is no,
in order.
There is no unfolding of evidence,
the
but
very
there is simply
beginning.
A statement that says,
there is no plea,
in the beginning,
there is
God.
No,
there is no
in the
unfolding of evidence,
God.
But there
so
is
the
simply a statement that
God
says,
was already.
In the beginning,
in the
God.
Beginning of what?
In the beginning
of the beginning.
God. So in the beginning,
we always
God
say
was
it. At what point
already.
Did God say it's time to
in
create
In the beginning
time.
Of what? In the beginning of the beginning.
Did he say in 5 minutes he's going to create time?
We always say it. At what point did God
how does
say
that
it's
go?
Time to create time?
But all we know that God is.
Did he say in 5 minutes he's going
to
create time?
Before all of this was, God was.
Or what? How does that
and he
go?
He was content.
But all we
and
know that
no
God
need of
is.
Anything.
But in
and
his,
before
but
all
in
of
himself,
this was,
he decided
was,
that he would
and
create.
And he was content.
And he had
and
no
he
need
initiated
of anything.
To nothing.
But in his, but in himself,
and
he decided that he would create.
That we have.
And he initiated
so there is an order to truth. There is an order, unbelievable order in creation.
Did we recognize that?
So there is an order to truth. There is an order, unbelievable order in creation.
I think all
have
of them.
You recognized it?
Right. Relatively.
How many
right.
How many Februarys have been
shocking.
Cold in New England? How many mornings has the sun
I think all
risen?
Of them.
Right. Well,
relatively.
As we can say from March to August.
Right.
I know September.
How many mornings
through
has
February,
the sun risen?
Things don't happen. We don't see
well,
the sun for
we can
a little
say
bit of
from
time.
March
right.
to
but the sun
to
rises.
Right.
I know September
on whose account?
Through to February, those things don't
God's.
Happen. We don't see the sun for a little bit of time.
How
right.
often? How,
but the
how
sun
often
rises.
Does this world
on
work
whose
the
account?
Way that it's supposed to work?
God's.
It does.
Have you noticed
often,
the rhythm
how,
of the ocean?
How often does this
what is it,
world
every 2.5
work
minutes
the way that
a wave
comes?
Work.
Like it is a
it
consistent
does.
Rhythm.
Have you noticed
that
the
rhythm
ocean
of the ocean
is always
what is it
always
every
2.5
coming.
Minutes
a wave
off.
Comes?
I just made that number up.
Like it right. is a consistent
32
rhythm.
Seconds,
that
minutes,
the ocean
seconds,
is always
but whatever
always
is, look
coming.
Up.
I could be
fact
way
check.
Off. I just made that number
the,
up. Right.
Just not right now.
But
32
so
seconds.
The ocean
is
always
is.
Moving. The
but
waves are always coming. The tides are always changing. The moon is always there. Waxing or waning.
The ocean
is
always moving. The waves are always coming. The tides are always changing. The moon is always there.
Waxing or waning. The sun is coming up. It's
why?
Going down. Everything
because
is happening.
God
Orion is
order.
Always traveling across the sky on the same
he did.
Path.
It's perfectly right. balanced. Isn't
why?
It the axis of the earth,
because
the way
God
that it is tilted,
put it in
the
order.
Distance we are from the sun. Everything
he did.
Is
it's perfectly
perfect.
Balanced.
Everything
isn't
is
the
in
axis
order.
Of the earth, the way that it is tilted, the distance we
there
are
is
from
in
the
order
sun.
To
everything
truth.
Is perfect.
And it's not
everything
selected
is in
by
order.
Me.
If I start with myself,
there is an order
I could get into a version of truth that is subject
me.
To a lot of change.
If I start with
because
myself,
I can come across
I could
a better idea and I say, "Ooh, I like
a version of
I like
truth
that. I'm
going to
add that
subject
to
truth.
A lot of change."
Or I like that. I'm going to add that to this.
Come
and
I across
a better
like
idea and I
say,
"Ooh,
I like
that."
You know, we were
I like that. I'm
going to
add that to my
Christian, obviously.
Or I like that. I'm going to add that to this. And I have a friend
like this.
He had his faith. What is your faith?
I'm
like kind of like Buddhist, Muslim,
obviously
Hindu kind of thing going on.
I have my faith.
Wow, that's
and
very
he had his faith.
Said,
what is
your faith?
Even,
said,
I don't even
like
know how
Buddhist,
defines,
Muslim,
right?
Hindu
and we
kind
had a
of
great
thing
conversation about it. But that's what
it is.
I like this. I like that.
I don't
I
even
like this.
I don't
like
even
that.
Know how that's
don't
defined.
Like that.
Right?
No way.
And we
no,
had a great
you.
Conversation
hey,
about
how dare you
but
call
that's
me
what it is. I like this.
Sinner,
I like that.
How dare you call me
that?
I'm going to leave
that
out.
No way.
And my faith, hey, truth becomes like a drive-through menu,
right?
How dare you call me
like
that?
I would go up
and
leave that out.
In a, or a burger
in my
you
faith,
can have it your way.
Truth
and I would order
like
it exactly the way
menu.
I want it. And I would say,
or
this
drive
is
up
truth.
Like I would go up to Dunkin' Donuts
this
and
is
a,
truth.
Or a Burger King. You can have it your way. And I would order
what,
it exactly the way
this?
I want it. And I would
it
say, this
hold
is
any
truth.
Weight.
It can't hold
this
itself
is truth.
Up. And then when life
what,
comes,
what's wrong with
and
this?
When I wrestle,
it doesn't
and
hold
when the
any
difficulty
weight.
Is there,
it can't hold
I look at my
up.
Truth and I say,
and then
I need
when
support
life
right
comes,
now,
and
my
when
truth
I wrestle,
support me.
And when the difficulty is there,
but
I
there
look at
my
truth and I say,
and if I, recognize
I need support
that order
right
truth,
now, and my
then
truth cannot
there is support
me.
For me.
I lean on him.
But there is an order
in the
to
beginning
truth.
God,
and if I recognize
like he said
that order
to Moses
truth,
in,
a fi-
then
in Exodus chapter 3,
for me.
What did he say?
I lean
Moses
on him.
Moses said, who am I going
to
tell them,
God,
right?
Like
what,
he said,
what, how can
to
I tell
Moses
them what is
in
true?
In Exodus chapter 3,
if I show up
say?
With my bag, my
Moses
mixed bag
said, who
of
am I
going
to tell them,
right?
Hey, I'm
like,
here
what,
to deliver
what,
you.
How can I tell them what is
what
true?
Will happen?
If
I
show up with my bag, my mixed bag of faith, and tell them, hey, I'm here to deliver you, what will happen?
That I am.
I won't have any substance to offer behind it.
What does that
but
mean?
Instead, God says, tell them
we sang it
I
in
am,
that song, didn't
that
we?
I am.
He is.
He is.
He is.
I am.
Forget the words already.
What does
he
that
is.
Mean?
He is.
Well, we sang it in that song, didn't we?
He is.
He is.
The essential
is.
Being.
He is. I forget the words already.
He
we
is.
Are not essential.
He is.
Surprise it or not. Believe it or not. Right? Surprise,
he
surprise.
Is the
we
essential,
are essential
being.
We
are
live
not essential.
And then we die and then
surprise
the world continues
not,
to move without
us.
Right?
Surprise,
even
surprise.
In our faith,
we are not essential.
There's the famous
we,
quote that
we,
says,
"We live and then
Stephen
we die,
song,
and the world continues
God
to move
buries
without
his
us."
Workmen and the
even
work
in
goes
our
on.
Faith,
there's the famous quote
like this
that says,
faith, "The church continues
Stephen
without
the song,
me. Everything continues
God
without me,
and
we are a memory."
On.
And this is Ecclesiastes that it is faith.
From
the church continues without me. Everything continues without me.
God,
and we are a memory.
Essential.
And this is Ecclesiastes
God is
that it is weird from dust to dust
because
He
it.
Holds all things by, together
but
by
God
the might of His
is
power.
Essential, right?
God
is
he
essential.
Is. He breathes life
because
into everything.
All things.
He is the
light
together by
the might of his power.
In John chapter 1,
and
verse 9.
He is.
He breathes life into everything.
It says in
he
Colossians
is the
1,
that lights
verses
every man
16 and 17.
In
two
in
of the
John
most powerful
1,
verses
9.
You can find on who Christ is.
It says in Colossians 1,
it says all
verses 16 and 17.
Him.
Two of the most powerful verses you can find.
Nothing that was made without him.
He is essential.
All things
that
were
all
created
of these
by
things
him.
That we see, this whole order moves, and there is a cause, and then there is a response to that cause.
He is essential.
That all
there
of these things that we see, this whole order moves, and there is a cause,
and
then there is a response to that cause.
And I could go on
but
and on
there is
and
an
on.
Uncaused,
but this
first
is
cause,
it. This is where
and
we
is
begin
God.
With God.
Could, this is like my
God
favorite
is.
Thing to talk about. And I could go on and on and on, but we need to move. But this is it. This is where we begin.
The second
with
point
God.
Is that,
that God is.
Being who he is, he created.
Okay, we got into this already. Right? Everything is in
the
its
second
order.
Point is that
the sciences that we have,
who
the sciences
he is,
are
he
the studying
okay,
of God's order.
Already.
Right?
Isn't
everything
that amazing?
Is in its order.
That the practicing of the order
that
we have, the sciences are the studying of God's order.
Push him out of it.
Isn't that amazing?
But it proves him.
That the practicing of the order that God has placed,
even if that
studying,
is an attempt to push him
earth.
Out of it.
But it proves him.
No.
The science is studying geology,
about.
Studying right. studying
no,
the earth.
Studying the universe. And there's a new telescope
that went up.
Does anybody
no,
remember the name of it?
That's what I'm talking about.
James
no,
White
studying the universe.
James
and
Webb.
There's a new
James
telescope
Webb.
That went up.
Right. This new telescope went up
and unbelievable. The pictures that have come back
James
are
White.
Unbelievable.
James
unbelievable.
James Webb.
Right. The more and more galaxies
went up and
the
unbelievable.
Deeper and
deeper the pictures
looks.
That have come back are unbelievable.
Beautiful.
Unbelievable.
But in this creation.
The more and more
also
galaxies,
order.
The deeper and
speaks
deeper
about
it
in 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Beautiful.
There is a celestial order,
creation,
there is a terrestrial order,
there is
also
the,
order.
The birds of the air have an order, the fish of the sea have an order,
and
there is
a celestial
order,
there is a terrestrial order,
so they can fly.
There is the
right?
birds
mammal,
of the air
bones
have an order,
and
the fish of the sea have an
order,
and it isn't an amazing
of birds, bones
are hollow, so they can fly. Right? Mammals, bones are solid,
that is the most fascinating
and
all of this stuff.
It's amazing.
It's incredible.
Can you imagine
where does that come from? But it only comes from the creativity of God. Right?
That is the most
it's
fascinating
amazing.
Little animal to me.
It's amazing.
It's incredible.
But in this,
where does that
in
come
this
from? But it only comes from the
glory
creativity of
in
God.
This order.
Right.
There
it's
is
amazing.
Something that is unique.
It's amazing,
and that's you and
but
me.
But in this,
when he created man,
glory
he created man
in this
difference.
Order, there is something
it
that
it
is
says
unique.
In Genesis 1, 26
and
27,
he created man in
when he
his image
man,
and in
his
likeness.
Man different.
And all of creation,
he,
when he observed it, he said it is good.
He
but when
in
he
his
created
image
man,
and in
he
his
said
likeness.
It is very good. And then
in
he
all
spoke
of creation,
he, when he observed
that,
he said it is good. But when
but
we
were
created
not
man,
until
he said
he
it is very
spoke
good.
Us into existence.
And then he spoke to man.
We need to understand
isn't
that,
that
is the order of truth.
But we
that
were not
until he
and we had
spoke
no
us into
voice
existence.
Until he created
we need to
us. We
became
that is the order of
truth.
That we were not and we had no voice until
he created
us.
We became
freedom.
Objects of his creativity.
Isn't that amazing? He gave us freedom. And we could say that
he
was really risky,
man.
God.
He had a relationship
he
with us.
He could have just
he
created
us
as
automatons and it would have
isn't
been a lot
amazing?
Easier
he gave
for
us
you.
Freedom. And we could say that
but
was really
in that,
risky,
there is
God.
No real fellowship.
He could have
in
just
that,
created
there is no
us
appreciation
as automatons
and
it
would have been a lot
glory
easier
and the love
for you.
Of God. So he
but
created
in that,
us
there
with
is no real fellowship
and we could
recognize
him or we could go our own way. So he created us with this amazing
that
choice that we could recognize
free to live
him,
with him,
or
free to choose
we
against
could
him.
Go
why
our
we,
own
why
way.
Why would he do that?
How did that turn out?
We see how it's gone.
Free to live with him, free to
and
choose
there hasn't
against
been
him.
A
single
why would, we,
point
why would
in human
that?
History where it's gone well between man and God.
We see how it's gone.
Adam and Eve.
And there
the
hasn't
very
been
first,
a single point in human
God,
history where it's
sinned,
gone
honestly,
well
because now there's no standard to live up to.
Adam and Eve.
The very
like there's
first,
no expectation
thank God,
in flesh.
Adam and Eve sinned.
The, like Jesus said to Nicodemus,
because now
that which
no
is flesh
is
flesh,
to.
And it has all been.
Like there's
it
no expectation in flesh.
Therefore,
the, like
it
Jesus
all
said
has
to Nicodemus, that which is
gospel.
Flesh is flesh, and it has all right. been.
We failed.
It has all failed. Therefore, it all has
and with
hope
the fall
in the gospel comes right. the consistency of the nature of God, and we see it.
We
and with
see
the fall,
it,
that God is true.
Comes, the
and we see it in creation. We see
of
His
the
power.
Of
we
God,
see His
we
order.
See
we see His ability.
It. That God
but
is
in the
God
fall,
is true.
We see His character.
We see it in creation.
We
see
His power.
Because
we see
in the fall,
His order.
There
we see
is
His
not
ability.
The destruction of man.
But in the fall, we see
it would
His
have been
character.
Very easy
we see
if
His
God
nature.
Said at the fall,
because in
Adam
the fall,
and Eve, you ate that?
There is not the destruction of man.
Restart.
It would have been very easy if God said at the fall, Adam and Eve, you ate that? Okay.
But instead. He
restart,
made a decision.
Restart another
why,
ball of clay.
And how?
Roll it out here.
He made this decision
no,
in truth.
But instead,
He made this decision consistent with respecting the volition of man, but also consistent with his character, consistent with his righteousness, and consistent with the volition of man, but also consistent with his character,
and that through that promise there would be one who would come
and would be the answer.
And that is that he would give a promise,
the answer,
and that through that promise there would be one who would come and would be the answer.
So despite this third point, despite man's failure,
he did not turn his back on
us. So despite this third
despite
point,
our
despite
failure,
failure,
he never turned his back on man.
But instead, he gave an offering.
He did not turn his back
instead,
on us.
Instead, he gave a sacrifice.
Despite our failure, he never turned
instead,
his back on man.
He has given us Jesus.
But instead, he gave an offering.
We see this promise unfold
instead, he gave
from Genesis
sacrifice.
Chapter 3, verse 15.
He has
it
given
starts
us Jesus.
To unfold.
And we see this promise unfold
into the Gospels,
from Genesis chapter 3,
and into the verse 15,
into the,
it
the
starts
epistles,
to unfold.
There is this
and throughout
unfolding
the Old Testament,
revelation.
It's called the progressive revelation
of who Christ
into
is.
The epistles,
it begins with a promise
there is
in Genesis chapter 3.
Unfolding revelation.
It becomes called the progressive
and then it comes to
revelation
Noah
of who
going
Christ
into the boat.
Is.
It begins with a promise
story.
In Genesis chapter
Noah
3.
Noah in the ark, is that
it
true?
Becomes, then
I believe
it comes
it's true.
To Noah going into the boat.
And then it comes
the
to Abraham. Abraham, there will be
story.
A you will have a son.
Noah in the ark,
impossible,
is that true?
Lord.
I believe it's
I
true.
I can't have a son.
And then it comes
I'm 75
to Abraham,
years
old.
Abraham,
my wife
will
is barren.
There
will
is
have
no
a
hope.
Son.
Can't we
impossible,
just take Eliezer?
Lord.
He could be the man.
I can't
no,
have
you
a
will
son.
Have a son.
I'm 75 years old. My wife is
Abraham
barren. There
waits.
Is no hope. Can't we
and
just take Eliezer? He could be the man. No, you will have a son. 25 years.
And this,
this story
waits.
Is unfolding.
And
we come to the book
son.
Of Isaiah, and we see in Isaiah chapter 53 that there is a servant who would suffer.
And this story is unfolding.
And
he
would be a man of sorrows appointed with grief. And we see in Isaiah chapter 53 that there is a servant who would suffer. And a servant who would be a man of sorrows acquainted with grief.
Christ.
And in that, he
Jesus
would be my
came,
Savior.
Says in John 1:14,
this
the Word
unfolding.
Became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, the One who could do anything about it.
And in John 14:6, when Jesus is talking with his disciples, he says, they say to him, Lord, show us how are we going to do this? Show us the way. And his response is, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the answer to the difficulty. I am the one who surrounds you and makes contact with your weakness. I take it and I give you my strength. He stood before Pilate in John chapter 18, one of my favorite exchanges in the Bible. Christ is standing before Pilate, and Pilate says, you say you are a king? You are a king? And Jesus there, bloodied, beaten, bound, crown of thorns, embarrassed, ashamed. Says what? You said it. You said it. Then there's a testimony to truth. Isn't there? He says it. I testify to the truth. What does Pilate say, Pastor Doug? What is truth? Pastor Doug's piloting the play for the past 10 years. He said this line 82 times, right? What is truth, right? What is truth? What is truth? The answer is there. Pilate could be there, and he is there in his authority, in his power, in his right, in his glory at his palace. And there is Christ, bloodied, beaten, shredded, embarrassed, bound, hated, mocked, spit on, slapped, standing before Pilate. And Pilate says, what is truth? And Jesus is there. I'm the truth. And then we could say it doesn't look like it. It's not what I would pick. It's not what I would choose. It's not what even what I want. And God's response is, that's not what truth is. Truth is not your desire. Truth is not what you pick and what you want. Truth is truth. And here is Christ standing in the midst, and he says it right there. And then Pilate says, don't you know it's true what kind of authority I have? That I have the authority to put you to death? And Christ says, that's very true, but there is a greater truth, that if I didn't give you that authority, you wouldn't have it. So I am the greater truth standing here in front of you. So do what you're supposed to do. And Christ goes to the cross as our sacrifice. He takes our death. He takes our sin. He takes them on his shoulders. He takes our shame. He takes our rejection of him. He takes our hate. He takes our anger. He takes everything that we can throw at him, and he takes it. He bears it. He's not broken by it. He's not defiled by it. But instead, he takes it away from us, and he bears it away, and it is taken care of. rightly, justly, and according to truth. So now God is able to offer us the same thing. And he says to us, you are free. You are free to come. Put your faith in me and you have freedom to live your life with me in truth. But also you have the freedom to deny me. You have the freedom to go and walk your own way. That is your freedom. But just know, I love you. I care for you. I've given everything for you. And I will surround your weakness with my strength. What a truth. Christ is the answer. He is the truth, isn't he? Not Paul Pierce. Christ. Christ is the truth, right? But truth does not condescend to agree with me. This is the world we live in. That the world we live in requires God to acquiesce to it. And we say, God, if you are God, then this is the way you'll be. You want to come down into our world? This is the way you need to act. This is what you need to say. This is what you need to affirm. This is what you need to agree with. And God says, that's very nice that you think it's your world. It's very cute that you think that I need to bow down to your truth. I don't. But instead, I am. And I love you. I care for you. And no matter what you throw at me, I can handle it. And I will always leave a way open to God through the cross. If you will recognize the truth of the cross. Because at the cross, it is very true that our sins were paid for. And that our forgiveness was garnered. Right? It was given. We have it. We have it. That is true. But that truth is dependent on the truth of who Christ is. And that truth is dependent on the truth of who God is. All of this truth comes in order. That Christ does not appear on his own. Christ does not come on his own accord. Christ does not come doing what he wants to do. But he comes from the Father. The truth comes down in order, and every step of truth supports the next level of truth. And it all encourages me. It all works together. There is order in truth. People like to talk about Christ. Oh, Jesus, I love Jesus. Right? Have you seen that? The t-shirt in New York City, Jesus is my homeboy. Right? Like, we have this concept of Christ that, yes, I love Jesus. He's so kind. He's peaceful. He's loving. He teaches good things. That's very good. The Sermon on the Mount, very good teaching. Very good. Be a good person. That's this, what I get from it. And we say, well, what about righteousness? What about the cross? Was the cross necessary? No. The cross was just a symbolic gesture, giving us an example. No, the cross was so much more. That Christ is revealed. It's not my decision. It is my decision, but it's not for me to say what Christ is. But Christ is revealed. And it's I either believe in the truth or I don't. Right. The Gospels are full of these conversations, right? Where Christ is meeting people and Christ is drawing people up into a greater truth. Right. In John chapter 4, there's a woman at the well in Sychar, and Jesus says to her, can you get me something to drink? And grumbling, she says, and he says, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink. Imagine that. You could look at him and be like, who do you think you are? Like, why are you even talking to me? Why are you even here? You don't have anything to draw water with. Like, you don't have anything to offer me. And he says, oh, really? I have living water. There is truth. That there is the truth conversing with a woman who is a sinner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he is revealed to her and she says, this is the one. It says in John 4:26, I am the one who is speaking. I am the Messiah. And she says, she goes and she says, come meet a man that told me everything I ever did. I met the truth. This is the Gospels. Christ is walking in the world and he is meeting people and he's drawing them up into his truth. Christ is not coming and saying, hey, what can I do for you guys? What do you need from me that you would, what can I do for you that you would believe in me? Imagine if Jesus did that. He just had like a little horse and buggy and he rode around and be like, okay, what do you guys want me to do? If I do it, will you believe in me? Right? Like the lunch table in middle school. If you trade me those cookies for these carrots, I'll be your best friend for like a week. It's like he did not come like looking to negotiate with us and saying, how can I? But instead he came saying, I am. And I have overcome. And if you will believe in me, you will have everlasting life. And we said, well, let's hold off on the cross part. That's a little bloody, a little gory. It's a little tough. And could you not call us sinners? We really don't like that. says, well, it's true. But there is a greater truth that I have overcome sin. And I have delivered you from sin so that you don't have to walk around me and don't have to relate to me around sin, but instead around righteousness. The last point, number four, is the truth of our salvation. By believing in Christ, you are saved. Not because of yourself, but because of Him and through Him. You are in Christ. What a place. In Christ. That's true. It's a truth that's based on and dependent on Him. A truth that starts with Him, not me. It's all in order. This salvation that we have, it's true. It's so true. And it is more than just a moral guidance, but it is a way of living. And I put this belt of truth on, and it supports me in what I am doing. And I go out in confidence because I know who I am in Christ. And I know who Christ is. And I know who God is. And I know what creation is. And I know what all of this is. I believe the truth. And all of that comes down to affect the way I walk in an evil world. I want to walk in this time, and I want to walk in this world with confidence, not with doubt. Like if Jesus says you're saved, like on Tuesday and Wednesday, but Thursday and Friday, that's up to you. Like definitely Sunday, I got you, no problem. But Monday, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, I have you, but you know, be careful. No, this whole thing is Him. He has done it all, and He has given me His salvation. He has saved me. Hallelujah. He came to seek and to save the lost. This is the purpose He came. And this salvation is so true. It's in order. Now, here we are with a decision. Is it true? Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says, the wrath of God is revealed against those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And it means this, that I would... And then verse 25 of Romans chapter 1, it says that we exchange the truth of God for a lie. And we worship the creation rather than the Creator. And we end up worshiping all kinds of things down here on earth. Why? Why? Why would I do that? Why would I worship a cow that eats grass in Psalm 106? Like, why would I do that? It is beneath me. Why? Because there is no challenge to truth. A cow doesn't challenge my morality. Like worshiping a four-footed beast and these creeping things it talks about in Revelation, or Romans chapter 1. Like there is no challenge to me. And I am free to live in the truth that I want to live. But instead, Christ challenges me. And I have to make a decision. But there are those who says that they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And that means they hold it down. Like there's something in the pot and it's boiling over. And you can say something's rattling over there. And you say, no, it's not. I'm suppressing the truth. That lobster wants to get out. No, there's no lobster in there. I can hear it. No, 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 no. And it's like popping up, right? Like, no, I'm holding it down in unrighteousness. And I would rather live without it than with it. We see this in Matthew chapter 8, actually. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus goes, and it's the story is also in Mark 5, where He heals the demoniac. He heals this guy. This guy's in the caves, lives in the caves, howling at night. They try to chain him up. He breaks the chains. They tie him up. He breaks it. They try to pray over everything they do. It is all overwhelmed by this demonic activity. But then Jesus walks onto the scene like He has walked into our life, and He says, get out. And immediately 6,000 demons flee and they go into the herd of pigs and they run. Okay, so this demoniac, this guy who like drove everyone nuts, literally. He was in the caves screaming in the cemetery at night and everybody else tuned him out. Jesus walks into this world, walks into this town, takes out the demons, heals the man. So it says in the end, he's in his clothed and in his right mind, eating with God, eating with Christ. What is the response of the town? You would think it would be, like other times in the Gospels, let's make Him king. There it is. There is the truth revealed to us, the mighty one, the greater truth. But instead they say what? Please leave. They do. It's a sad commentary, isn't it? Please leave. We are more comfortable with that than we are with you. Because you challenge us to believe in the truth. And we don't want to. I'd rather pervert the truth And I'd rather adjust the truth to my perverted mind than submit to your order. Right? This is, I mean, it's a big thought, but this is the world we live in. And here we are. What do we say? Batten down the hatches, close the doors, turn out the lights, don't let them know we're in here. No, we are supporting ourselves with truth. And we walk into this world and we say, hey, we have a message. We have a message, and that message is hope. But that message is also recognizing the truth of who God is, the truth of the cross, the truth of the resurrection, the truth of the ascension, all of this stuff. And we can say, yeah, but by my sin. No, sin is dealt with. Yeah, but, and then ultimately it comes down to what? I don't want him. And we say, please do. And we are not like offensive in this. In the sense that we offend people, but we are offensive in this, in the sense that we are moving forward with the gospel. That this message has so impacted us, the truth of God has so impacted our lives that we go out into the world, and we say, "Hey, we have a message, the gospel, the message of Christ. It is true, and if you believe in it, it will change your life." And people will say, "No, thank you." People will. But we don't know. Maybe some people will say, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. Thank you for bringing that message. And Romans chapter 10 says it. How will they know unless someone goes? Right? Isn't that challenging? Beautiful feet have those who bring a good message, the gospel of peace. Beautiful feet. Look at that. Look at that. We have beautiful feet. Why? Because what's on them? Oh, no. Right? Because what they look like? No. I just got my nails done. I didn't, but you could, right? No, my feet are beautiful because they bring the gospel and they bring a message. And how will the world know unless it is brought? So my encouragement to us today is to like cinch up the belt of truth, right? Be supported by it, put it on, embrace truth, recognize truth. And walk confidently before God, truthfully before God, depending on the truth. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us this revelation of truth. And we just ask that you would continue to encourage us and build us as we walk by faith in what you have said, Lord. And if there's anybody here this morning, you've never put your faith in Christ, you've never believed in Jesus, you could say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe that you bled, I believe you died, I believe you rose again, and I believe that you will give me the gift of eternal life. Please save me, Lord. The prayer doesn't save you, but your faith in Christ saves you. And if there's anybody here who's prayed that this morning, just lift your hand up, we'll pray with you. Okay, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word and your name. Amen.